This month, the LGBT community celebrated inclusiveness and diversity with the Phoenix Pride Parade. Hundreds of people from the LGBT community and allies marched in solidarity.
But about 100 activists staged a demonstration in the middle of the parade and asked for a larger role in the Pride movement.
They were from the group Trans Queer Pueblo, or TQP, which advocates for the rights of undocumented immigrants within the LGBTQ community. The show's Lauren Gilger is here with more on this. And Lauren, what message were the TQP group, what were they hoping to get across with this demonstration?
Right, they wanted to make a point. Phoenix Pride needs to remember the true roots of the Pride Parade and to stop collaborating with police and corporate sponsors. They were specifically protesting the involvement of corporate sponsor Bank of America in this parade because they say that bank helps finance the mass incarceration of immigrants. They wanted to get their message across by temporarily halting the parade, but if you listen to this video, you can hear that it got pretty heated. So you can hear some parade onlookers there shouting at demonstrators, saying things like, get out of the way, like, this is not your day.
Lauren, it sounds like maybe some bystanders didn't know that members of Trans Queer Pueblo are part of the LGBTQ community, too.
Right. But to be clear, Pride organizers were aware of the group. Jeremy Helfgott is a communication specialist organizers hired to speak on the issue.
The organization wanted there to be an opportunity for TQP to have their protests, to have their concerns heard, and to be able to do so without interference.
Helfgott says police stepped in to ask protesters to move along only when things became heated, and that Pride organizers want to hold discussions with TQP about being more inclusive. I spoke with one of the organizers of the protest, Dagoberto Bailon, more about why they chose to do this and why they chose to do this way.
Last Sunday, we wanted to have a conversation and send an invitation to Pride to sit down with us and talk about what equality really means when you include different identities. We know that there has been a lot of progress made with marriage equality, but that is not enough for us. As people of color, marriage is not going to keep us safe from the police, and marriage doesn't stop the deportation of our brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. And so we wanted to invite Pride to sit down with us and really start advocating for issues for communities of color.
But some people critique this type of confrontational action during the Pride Parade itself, which is supposed to be sort of a celebration. Why do you think this was the best way to get your message out there?
So I think there's a lot of misinformation about specifically Pride. The Pride Parade started in 1969, right, after Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson stood up against the police because they were being harassed. And so what we wanted to do also with this action was make sure that we were grounding ourselves in actually the history, because Pride started as a riot, and we wanted to make sure that we came back to the actual origins of Pride, which was making sure that we were standing up for each other and for ourselves as people of color.
Right. And what's your message here? And in what ways do you feel like participation of certain groups or corporations in the Gay Pride Parade directly sort of negate or disparage other groups like people of color and immigrants?
Well, I think Prides in general, not just in Phoenix, provide a space for corporations to come out and say for one day, hey, we're for equality. We support you all. Here you go, have some free goodies, and Pride sells or sells equality to the corporations for one day. And then they come and they celebrate with us. But then the next day, when people are getting deported and people are getting killed, these are the same corporations that are actually funding or incarceration, and they are actually not taking a stand.
Right. And so you were specifically referencing in this parade Bank of America's sponsorship of the parade and the police being involved in it?
Yeah, definitely. I think for a lot of communities of color, our interactions with the police are not smooth. We're criminalized at higher rates. And I think having the police present in Pride actually does just that. It puts all of us who are LGBT and people of color at risk of being criminalized.
I'm also interested to know sort of what your involvement in the immigrant community has been like lately. That's one of the things that you're really focused on. And so have you maybe gone to an immigration rally, for example, and tried to make a point about LGBT involvement in that community?
So with our migrant rights organization, we're in constant dialogue to make sure that LGBT identities are included. I think we've seen a shift in the immigrants' rights movement to make sure that they're intentional in centering the experience of LGBT community. So like everything, it's a work in process, and it also took some dialogue from us to have them move forward. And so we're hoping to do the same with Pride, to have a Pride 2018 that is inclusive, safe, and that really celebrates its roots.
That was Dagoberto Bailon with the group Trans Queer Pueblo. And this is an interesting example of what's called intersectionality, when issues like race, class, and gender overlap. It's like the idea that issues like gay rights and immigrants' rights, for example, are not separate. There are people in both camps affected by both causes, and the actions of one group can really affect another. So intersectionality has become an important part of the conversation. And to talk more about how this played out at this year's Phoenix Pride Parade, I spoke with Suhey Vega. She's an assistant professor in women and gender studies at Arizona State University.
I mean, if we think about Pride and we think about the struggle to get Pride to begin with and where it is now, some folks feel like Pride becomes this, obviously, a celebration, but it is very much in a single access framework, so a single issue of being LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. But a lot of folks don't only exist in that framework, right? And so they might be LGBTQ, but they're also, in this case, undocumented. They're also, in this case, racialized as other, so they're not white. And so what does that mean for their bodies when they're looked at, when they're policed, when it's not just being LGBTQ, but it's also LGBTQ, it's also racialized, it's also undocumented, it's also class. And so these things collide on a body, on one single body in a different way. And I think that's what we saw happening, is the way that folks are asserting the complexity of their experiences.
Right, right. And so some of the things that people in the parade were saying was like, get out of our pride, or you don't belong here, things like that. And I wonder, do you think there's a misunderstanding sometimes about groups who do belong in certain movements and groups that don't?
So one of the biggest issues I had with the comments that day was somebody voiced, this is not your day. And that was really frustrating, because Pride is a celebration, but it is also a calling to consciousness of why we are where we are, how far we've come, but how far we have left to go. And that should be inclusive of other issues of and oppressions that people are facing.
But you hear people argue a lot, right, that like focusing on too many issues detracts from the main cause, right? People will say like, don't bring race into this. Can it just be about this for today? That kind of thing. Is that what we saw in response, you think?
Yeah. So it's going back on where intersectionality comes out of, right? It comes out of particularly women of color who are fighting feminists, who are saying, oh, we just need to fight gender. Don't bring race. Don't bring class. But ultimately, what happened in those arguments was what I call back burner politics, right, where people kept being pushed to the back burner and therefore were never dealt with. And so when people say, you know, let's not deal with race, let's not deal with class, that's too complicated, it actually is demeaning and, quite honestly, diminishing that struggle, as if somehow you're not important enough and let's not talk about you. When in fact, if it's a struggle, a true actual struggle against oppression, it should be inclusive of other people's experiences.
Right. So how does this get resolved? Is there a way that Pride can become a safe space for the LGBTQ community and for people of color and kind of meet those broader goals?
Well, I think the first thing is to recognize that those two identities exist in one person, right? And so can Pride be good for the LGBTQ community and people of color? Well, there are people of color that are LGBT, right? And so I think it has to be inclusive of that. And going back to intersectionality, there's this notion of the importance of both and, right? So instead of thinking of either or, it's either my community or your community, we have to start imagining this notion of both and. We are both LGBT and people of color. And what does that look like? And how does it look to have proper coalition and not just surface level coalition that falls on the wayside when people are fighting the either or debate?
So you study political rhetoric and how that affects the way people treat each other in day-to-day life, right? So how do you think the current political situation and all of this divide in the country right now on immigration and other issues is kind of affecting what's playing out in situations like this even?
Well, I think we can just look at the images from what happened at Pride Phoenix. We can look at the images of individuals just screaming. And, you know, their voices, their body language was such that it was so antagonistic for the protesters. And I think that has to do with the fact that you see somebody protesting, in this case, immigration politics, or in this case, the police enforcement issues, and you immediately go to an either or. It's either me or you. And I think that that's as a result of some of the politics that's going on nationally, that we're fighting this fight as if we're all should be fighting each other instead of collectively trying to find resolutions for all of our collective pains with the plural S.
Yeah. Suhey Vega is an assistant professor in the Women and Gender Studies Department at Arizona State University. Suhey, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.